Okay.
We're about to start what I think
is one of the strangest days of the year. Hoshana Rabbah. We all have that first memory, you know, you walk into Shul Hoshana Rabbah, and, you know, you're expecting that 45-minute to an hour davening we've had for the past week, and all of a sudden it schleps on and on and on, and then you see the chazan, he's wearing white, and the kittel, and the whole spiel. So let's just throw out me any strange minhag you remember from Hoshana Rabbah from year to year that we do, that for some reason sticks, you know, what's going on Hoshana Rabbah? No, throw out some funny stuff that we do. Tikkun. Some people have the svarim. You do all the svarim? Do you do it?
Some years.
I was thinking about today. Why dafka dvarim? Some connection to Torah Shebaal Peh. Number one, dvarim. We just some people spend up the whole night learning. It's not even if you find, you know, like we have other minhagim staying up all night learning Shavuos because that's Kabbalah Satorah, but Hoshana Rabbah, it's not mentioned in the Chumash as something as a day special. What's the earliest mention we have of Hoshana Rabbah? It's Machlekes, the Gemara in Sukkah, whether it's Yesod Nevi'im, or whether it's a Minhag of the Nevi'im, whether the Nevi'im actually established this day as something, or whether it was just a Minhag, and the Nafkamina the Gemara quotes is to whether or not we make a Bracha, Asher Kedishat B'mitzvosa Vitzivanu, on whatever we do this day, whether we're walking around with our Aravos, or they used to take these fairly large Aravos and put them on the edge of the Mizbeach, as something. What else is strange about Hoshana Rabbah? I'll tell you what I think is the strangest day of all is this. The Hoshanas, we take the Hoshanas, we smack them. Every kid, you know, that's like the highlight of their year, I think. You know, my kids are like, you know, pumped up for tomorrow. And it was a thing when you were a kid, you know, how much you could smack and how many leaves you could actually knock off, and then they no longer smacked them on the floor, but they kind of took them and raped them with their arms and started scrapping. We all done that. And then, of course, you use the aravos as weapons and start hitting the person next to you. So there's all kinds of strange minhagim. And I think that when did it turn into Shabbos? You know, what's the deal here with Mizmor Shirli? You know, where we're with Psuka de Zimra. I can't think of another time. There is no other time where during the week we say Psuka de Zimra of Shabbos. And the tunes, and all of a sudden, like, we just finished Yom Noraim, right? We just finished Yom Noraim. We had Yom Kippur. We had the Slicha Mechila. We danced, and we moved on. And now we got to the days of Simcha, and here comes Yom Kippur Nachavol. Hey, we're back. We already did Yom Kippur. Like, what's going on? And we're wearing the kittel, the chazans were wearing the kittel, and something going on, Hoshana, save us from this impending doom. So we have this idea of this repeat of Yom Kippur. We have this idea, by the way, the strangest minhag of them all. I don't know if anybody saw this Ramah, but the Ramah writes this, and Rabbi Glatz said it today between Mincha, but it's a very sure Ramah. It's strange. Again, I don't know every Ramah, but I would venture to say that if you would say top 10 strange Ramahs, this would be it. He says there's a minhag tonight to look at the moon and to see the shadow of the moon, and when you see the shadow of the moon, you'll know what's going to be for your family for the next year, and your relatives. He says you shouldn't do it. You should be tam tiyem Hashem lokecha. Okay, but the fact that the Rama is quoting this Arizal lehalacha is very strange. And then there's this idea of the chasima, right? What's the chasima? It's a chasima betocha chasima. It's somehow ne'ila all over again. There's a couple of different sources of this. There's, of course, a Zohar, but there's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim that many people talk about that says, "Shimini kachosem alibecha kachosem alzrecha." So they darshan, the Slonim Rebbe and many others darshan that there's two chasimas. There's a chasima in the Ilu Yom Kippur, and there's a chasima again on Hoshana Rabbah. So you have the beating of the Hoshanas. You have this Yom Kippur attitude. Matter of fact, the Zohar writes the following: the Zohar, which I don't like to quote because I don't understand the Zohar, but here I think everybody quotes the Zohar just to get a better understanding, so we'll try our best. He says, he says, let's say you fail somehow in your tshuva by Yom Kippur, it's talilei adahu yoma basra datzeres, it holds up until the last day of Sukkos, dehu timni lechak. Somehow, there's another chasima that happens on Hoshana Rabbah. There was a chasima then, and there's a chasima now. It's a Zohar. Shir Shirim. So we have this idea of Yom Kippur. We have this strange idea of beating the Aravos. Chasima b'socha, chasima, we have the Arava. And of all things, to take the Arava. Now, we have Dalamin, right? What do we spend the most time checking out? When you guys went to check, not Ashi and I. Ashi and I, Mamish, we bought an Esrog in under a minute. You know, people spend time with the Esrog and they sit and they look. The other day, I don't know what I was doing. I couldn't read the fine print, so I took off my glasses and I started looking. I said, "Well, you're checking out the Esrog." I said, "You know, when you get to be my age, the glasses, you know, they hinder your ability to see." But what's pshat that you can't, that we spend so much time on the Esrog, we spend so much time on the Luluf. Hadassim, you know, we get the Chazanish, but they're rubbish. Everybody's got the same. As a matter of fact, you can probably go into a lot of people's backyards, clip some Hoshanis, and you're done. Nobody checks about Hoshanis. As a matter of fact, that the Rambam writes, that Halach Lemosh Mesinish, Vivim Mikdash, Arav Acheris, Chutz Me'er of Shabuv, you don't take the regular Hoshanis. It has to be Dafka, separate Hoshanis. But Ve'ed Adam Yossi, Yideh Chavasu, Ba'arav Shabuv, Vishir, the Shir is Afilu Allah Echad Bebar Echad. One leaf, one bud. That's it. Done. It's the Arava itself. Keith Hernandez. Step outside the batter's box. The Arava itself is the one without Tom, the Medrash says, the one without Reach. It's the lowest of all the four. And you don't have to have a shear. And yet we're making this the centerpiece of Hoshana Rab. This is a strange thing. Okay, let's... One more thing, David HaMelech, we bring him in today, right? David HaMelech, you all sat down. I'm sure you had dinner tonight. Everybody had a special festive dinner for Hoshana Rabba, but we had schnitzel, and we welcomed in David HaMelech. We were spiesen tonight. The final. What's the connection between David HaMelech and Hoshana Rabba? And the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, right? Anybody ever wonder what the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is that culminates tonight? It's the could be what the Chasim is on. It's on the drawing of the water. Well, we took the last of the water. Remember, the rainy season is supposed to start, hopefully, Shmini Atzeres, we're going to start saying Geshem, but the rainy season, it stops raining. We don't want to ask for rain yet because we got to wait for everybody to get home. They didn't have cars back in the day. So we take the last of the water, we draw the water from the Nachal, and we're doing so many strange things. And then with this Arava, the strangest thing of them all, is we take the Arava, we beat it, right? And what do? We throw it on top of the Arava. It's a funny story. A couple of years ago, I'll never forget this. I got a youngest woodman, Rabbi Bill, was davening my minyan, which means I must have woken up early. And so everybody takes, not only their aravas, they take their lulav and esrog and they throw it on top of there. It's always strange to me because, like, what about your wives? Like, I guess nobody cares. I don't know, whatever it is. Like somebody today asking you, Shaila, they wanted to know if a girl did not bench lulav and esrog up until day four or day five, do they have to make a shechiyana? Like, you know, whatever it is, you know. Hopefully your wives and whatever it is, they benched every single day. But so they took the lulav and aravas and they threw them on top of the aravas. That's what we do with aravas. But some people do with their lulav. And then Rabbi Bill was not a happy camper because his wife didn't bench it. So I figured he would take a lulav home, but he starts looking through all the lulav to find his so he could bring it home to his wife. I don't know how you're going to recognize his own personal lulav, but it's like finding a needle in a haystack. So we take the aravas and we throw it on top of the aravas. What is going on that we're taking the aravas? And a lot of times it stays. Except in the Jiminyan, because the Jiminyan doesn't exist, and they got to clear it off for basketball. But it's a strange minhag. We're taking this Arava and putting it at the top of the Arava. What's going on?
It's not just the Tashmi Shevitzah thing. I thought it was just Tashmi Shevitzah. Like,
no, there's something
direct decorating.
There's something halakhic about it. There's something like unique that we dafka want the Arava to go on top of the Arava that Lahalach has brought there. Okay. So I tell you, I listened a lot to different people say shurim. That's I listened to the Pachad Yitzchak has a beautiful mahalach which we're going to use. The Slonim Rebbe, Alistair Rabbi Rosner, it's a Rabbi Tarragon online. He gives a shurim. Yerosh Hashana Rabba says something different, which is very interesting. So a lot of different people have a lot of stuff online. So this is like an amalgam of many different people. Primarily, this comes from Rabbi Rosner, this work, and hopefully, we'll be able to understand a little bit of Hoshana Rabba, what we're supposed to do, what's the avodah of the day of the next 24 hours, and then continuing into Shmini Atzeres. Based on some of these weird minhagim. There is a Rambam at the very, very end of Hilchos Luluf. The last Rambam in Hilchos Luluf. He says the following. HaSimcha, this Simcha, sheyismach adam ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah, that a person does when he does a mitzvah, uba'avas hakel shetzidu, when the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, avodah gedolah. This is a very large avodah. To know what Simcha is a very large avodah. V'chol ha-manei atzmel mi-simcha, whoever holds himself back from Simcha zu, royally pari mimenu, he's going to get paid back. If you don't have simcha in your mitzvah, you're toast. What's his raya? Shenemar tachas eshelo evadata Hashem lekecha besimcha ubetov leva. Beneath, as a replacement for that which you served Hashem with simcha ubetov leva. Anybody know where that pasuk is from? Anybody know that pasuk? Which the Rambam brings out at the very end of Lulav. Right? First he's talking about the Simchias Seiro Sukkah. And then at the end he says, and by the way, if you don't do the mitzvah of Simcha, you're going to get paid back. Right? And we have to do all the mitzvahs in Simcha. It's a big deal. And what's the raya? He brings the pasuk. He brings the pasuk of the where in Dvarim? Tachas Shalavat Shem Lechech. What? Not Nekev. It's in the middle of the clothes. The reason why all the clothes are going to happen to us is because why? It's because we didn't act with Simcha. So wait a second. I did every single mitzvah in the book. I put on tefillin this morning. I davened shachris. I kissed the mezuzah. I said kriya shema. I said brachas. I benched. I shook lulav and esrog. I'm sure I did some other mitzvahs. I looked at the moon to see what my future was going to be according to Ramah. I did everything I was supposed to do. Says the Rambam, the one thing I didn't do was what? I didn't do it b'simcha rabba. Because I didn't do b'simcha rabba, what's going to happen? Ball game over. All the clothes are going to happen. Wow. That's pretty severe. So what's pshat in this Rambam? So I've heard this a number of times. I just heard it recently from Rabbi Rosner. And he says this is a beautiful, beautiful vart as to what's the problem with not doing mitzvahs b'simcha. Says, you know what the start of all problems are? The start of all problems is when I crex, when I don't do a mitzvah, when I do a mitzvah. The root, meaning when I have a mitzvah, now all of a sudden the mitzvah's coming. So, I got to go to shul for 2 hours tomorrow. Or, yes, I get to spend 2 hours in shul tomorrow. There are two different ways of looking at it. What's the beginning of the downfall? Says the Rambam, the beginning of the downfall is that moment I all of a sudden do mitzvahs without simcha, in a moment it's all going to be lost, and that's the beginning of all the curses that's going to happen. Once I walk into a mitzvah, and I feel terrible about it, then I'm toast. A beautiful story. You know, back in the 30s, everybody came to America. Everybody came to America, and it was impossible. I don't know why the planes must have changed their route, saying, you know, we're going to go right over Storch's house. Anyway, so the Rambam, the Rav Moshe Feinstein tells her back 30s in America, there were two kinds of people. There was one family whose people would stay from, another family who people wouldn't stay from. What happened? Everybody knows, it was well known, you had to work in America 7 days a week. There was no such thing as getting off for Shabbos. Every week you worked for 6 days. Erev Shabbos, you told the boss you can't come in tomorrow. He said, thank you very much, have a nice day. You know, hit the road, Jack. And there were two kinds of Jews on Shabbos. There was one kind of Jew who came home, and he used to tell his kids, Shvarz is a Yid. It's so hard to be a Yid. And there's another kind of person who says, Baruch Hashem, I lost my job. Next week I'm going to start something else. I'm going to find something on Sunday. Who stayed from? Which family stayed from? The family who came home. He says, Baruch Hashem, it's so good to be a Jew. It's amazing. But if you say, Shvarz is a Yid, if you say that it's so hard to be a Jew, then what happened? Then naturally the whole thing was lost afterwards. The whole thing was lost. Because it infected and it permeated the kids. I heard a beautiful story from Ashi, your uncle. He told me that whenever they got a pink slip from losing their job, that's what they decorated their sukkah with. Because there was, look at the sacrifice we're doing for a Jew. It wasn't Shvarz Zayin Yid. It was, Baruch Hashem, what it is to be a Jew. That idea of simcha, once you lose that simcha, you're toast. Then all the tochachas come. The pasuk that Rambam is telling, v'cholamoneh atzmo misimcha zu, ro'ili, that person is worthy, li'pari mimenu shenemar tachas asher, lo'yavarata, as Hashem lo'kecha v'simcha b'tov leivo. It's all gone. Because once you start with, a little bit of depression, a little bit of sadness, the whole thing is gone. It can't sustain itself. It can only happen if it's going to be done b'simcha rabba. We'll get back to Hoshana Rabba. But I have to get on, Shimi already heard the soapbox, but I'm getting back on the soapbox. I titled the shir tonight, said about the Shabbos app and Hoshana Rabba. So, for those of you who don't know what the Shabbos app is, you got to watch the video because it's pretty infantile and juvenile. But Lameisa, what's the idea of the Shabbos app? The Shabbos app is the following. Oy, Shvarz is ein Yid. It's hard to be a Jew. Why? Because for 24, 25 hours, I can't text. And a Yid, a person, a teenager, how does one communicate with another person without texting? Hashem is the highest level of communication. No. But remember, I'm 15 years old. And for me, my method of communication is texting. And my very core can't continue without texting. I forget, Rabbi Rosenblatt said in a shiur number of years ago, and it stuck to me, is that you have to picture yourself being duct taped for 25 hours on your mouth. That's the equivalent of not allowing a teenager to text. It's hard. I don't want to minimize the lack of texting. So what did the people from the Shabbos app do? They developed a grumma switch that when you text, you're not texting straight. It's, you hit a button and then you wait 10 seconds and the letter shows up. Now again, parenthetically, anybody who's ever texted with a phone that doesn't work like that, it's the most frustrating thing, and you want to throw the phone to them. Okay, but be that, let's leave that point aside, and that they're going to disenable the Shabbos app within 10 seconds of using it because it's annoying. But the very notion and idea of the Shabbos app is there's a problem. The problem is Shabbos is very hard. So I get out of the problem by creating a grumma switch in the text messaging issue, and then I could text on Shabbos beheter. Now, I don't want to discuss the halachic implications. I'm sure Rabbi Flug on YU Torah will have a beautiful shir, is giving the shir tonight in Boca Raton. So you just click on that shir if you want to hear the halachic implications. With the grumma and this, I'm not an expert in grumma. I don't know anything about it. But you listen to his shir. But the idea that one needs to create an application to get around the problem of texting is such a distortion. What's the root of this? Why do they need to come up with this? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a beautiful, beautiful Torah in the Drash Moshe and Pinchas. Beautiful, beautiful Torah. He says, "Ubiyom Shabbos shnei kvasim." On Shabbos there's two kvasim, and they have to be equal and identical in the whole shpil. Why do they have to be equal and identical? Because Rav Moshe writes, each one of the kvasim represents, one represents Zohar, and one represents Shamor. And what's the problem? We very often make Shamor the whole thing. Right, the shamors all represent the low sases. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't take the bean out of the challenge, you can't write, you can't follow your favorite sports team on Twitter, whatever it is, you can't text. When you see Shabbos as one large shamor, your Shabbos stinks. I remember when I was Shana Aleph in Israel, and Rabbi Schiller was the guest speaker. Rabbi Schiller was a big cynic towards a certain faction of Judaism, I'm not going to mention it. And he said they deserve a larger chelek of schar for their Shabbos than people who treat Shabbos properly. He says, what's he talking about? He says, because there's this concept, which I had never heard before, of lefum tzar agra. According to the pain is the reward. And he goes, and their Shabbos is so painful because all they see are the negative commandments. So if all you see is the negative commandments, your Shabbos stinks. And therefore, you need to come up with a problem. You need to come up with a way to text because my Shabbos is awful. And it's so bad. And now I can't even text. Forget about it. Let's come up with a grub. The problem is, the whole root of the problem is that your whole Shabbos, the whole way you're giving over Shabbos to your kids is problematic. The whole way it's being given over is being given over as a list of don'ts. That is a method and a recipe for disaster. Dr. Pelkovitz. See, I got my resident psychologist here to back me up, I'm sure. Right? It has to be given over. No, I appreciate that. It has to be, like a scum of promotion. There has to be an idea of simcha. And that's the way to give over Shabbos to your kids. Again, today was Shalom Bias, but I said I'm going to talk more about raising kids. And the idea here is the way to get to give over the values to anybody is to give it over in the most positive way. You know, there was an article written last year about the failures of the Jewish education, and they quote a prominent principal in the in the modern Orthodox world. You might know him pretty well, right? Somebody I work for. And he was quoted anonymously. So in this article, he writes that we always try to give a positive spin to everything. We try to make it a beautiful experience. We don't talk about the negatives, but we try to talk about the positives and why you should be besimcha. Because once you start leaving the simcha part out, you're doomed. That's the Rambam. That's Rav Pavarsky and the Rambam. You're doomed. That's the Shabbos app. If you have to come up with a Shabbos app, I'm telling you, whoever needs to use the Shabbos app, it won't matter. Like, within a week, they'll be off the Shabbos app. Because it's just, if your whole Shabbos is a bunch of negatives, you're toast. That's the Rambam. That's my soapbox for the day, vis-a-vis the Shabbos app. If you want to see more about the Shabbos app, take a look at the videos. So what was I talking about? So, let's get back to Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is this very, very strange idea. You have all these minhagim and stuff, and the arava, the lowest of the things, and the chasima of the chasima. What is Hoshana Rabbah? We did Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is one chasim, level one. And that is, were you a good guy? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at your actions, check, minus, X, plus, you did this good, you did that good. The Pachad Yitzchak writes it. The Pachad Yitzchak writes this in a line here that I think is very important. Pachad Yitzchak Maimer Tzadivov by Zion here, he explains the difference between the chasim of Yom Kippur and the chasim of Hoshana Rabbah. He writes that Yom Kippur is a clarification. It's getting rid of the Yetzer Hara from the outside. All of the stuff. And that's why I don't eat, I don't drink, I don't do anything from the outside. All my external activities. Hoshana Rabbah is checking out the Pnim and making sure it's besimcha. It says like this, Va'avodas bitol hara, this idea of the nullification of the evil within me. Ha'omed mibachutz mitzchayemes derech mitzvas simcha. Has to be done through the mitzvah of besimcha. Hoshana Rabbah is checking, how do I view mitzvahs? Do I view mitzvahs as a burden? Or do I view it as a simcha? Not am I doing the mitzvahs. The chasima within the chasima, the wrapper within the wrapper, you know? It's like the olden days of the Esrog. Remember, somebody tweeted the other day, it was pretty funny, but you forgot the olden days of the Esrog when you used to have all the hairy stuff around the Esrog, right? You used to take out the package and then the hair. Now you got foam and it's easy. I feel bad for all the people who invested in the silver cases prior to the lack of hair. But now we're in the foam era. You know, so you can get them. Everybody walks around with these plastic boxes. But they used to wrap it. It's the wrapper within the wrapper. Yom Kippur is checking out the ma'isim. Hoshana Rabbah is not checking out the ma'isim. It's checking out the internal me. Am I besimcha? Do I view mitzvahs, like the Rambam says, do I view mitzvahs as something that I want to do besimcha? Or do I view mitzvahs as a burden that I just happen to be doing? The chasim within the chasim. That's what Hoshana Rabbah is. And if we understand that, that's the yesod of Hoshana Rabbah, we can pretty much understand all of them in hug. What's going on, I think, with Hoshana Rabbah? And we made a list at the beginning. What were they? So first of all, the Arava. As we lead towards Shmini Atzeres. Think about it. What is the Arava? What is Sukkos? Sukkos in general. Start back from the beginning. Sukkos is Zman Simchaseinu. We finish Yom Kippur, and then we start loading up with mitzvahs. We start loading up with actions. We go buy the lulav. We buy the esrog, the hadasim, the aravas. We start collecting. But as we get to Hoshana Rabbah, it's what I would call the period of weaning between Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is the mitzvah, is Yom Chag b'fnei regel b'fnei atzmo. It has absolutely no mitzvos attached to it. It's purely just, you know, v'simachta l'fnei Hashem l'kecha. It's pure simcha. But Hoshana Rabbah, you might say, it's the bridge. I take the lowest of the four minim. Shem Yishmuel talks about this b'derech, that it's really another way of another. But okay, we're going to spin it a different way. I take the lowest of all of them. The one without reyach, the one without tam, the one without taste, no smell. I take it, and I beat it where? In the lowest point, the ground. Meaning, it's a concept of bittul. I'm getting rid of all the gashmis. What is Sukkos? Sukkos is the Chag HaOsif. It's when I'm taking the ingathering. What do? I leave. I leave all the material possessions. But Hoshana Rabbah, I start to even leave that. I start to unwrap within the unwrapping. Namely, I start to take the Arava and I bang it on the floor. I don't need the Arava. I don't need the Vdalad Mina. I'm down to one leaf. And where do I smack it? Dafka where? On the floor. What does the floor represent? The floor represents the lowest point, meaning the lack of anything. I don't need to have anything. There's an idea of being Simcha. You know, we always think, what is Simcha? Simcha means having as much as you could have. Right? So I always say, happiness is not... I'm going to always mess up this phrase, right? Happiness is not getting what you want, but it's wanting what you got. There's days, you get it. Simcha is not getting what you want, but it's wanting what you have. And I have this, I'm happy. I don't need anything to make me happy, and it's so true. Dr. Kirschbaum at the end, he sends out a daily every single day to all the staff in DRS, and it says at the bottom, make it a great day. It's up to us to be happy. It's not up to anything that we get. I don't need my sports team to win. I don't need my fantasy team to win. I don't need any of that stuff. I can be great. I throw the Hoshanas to the ground, and now I'm left with nothing. And then, even so, I could take my nothing and put it on top of the Yara. Oh, the Amunas Yitecha writes that this guy, Rabbi, I saw it in the Sefer, I should give a quote of credit, Rabbi Rosenblatt, he sent out a thing, he's a Rebbe in the Tivari, he sent out, I think he's got 86 pages on Hoshana Rabbah. Remarkable work. So you're right, he quotes an Amunas Yitecha there, and if anybody wants, I'll leave it to you later. He quotes that you take this Arava, you throw it on top of the Aron because it represents that even this I could bring up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could take that because I could be B'simcha without anything. That's why we celebrate the Mayim. Because what is water? you know, we have your Snapple and we have soda and we have all kinds of fancy drinks, but the water is the lowest of all. And I go where? I go to the low point. Where did they used to draw the water from? From the Nachal, from the low point, from the valley. I draw it from the lowest point because I don't need anything. I can take stuff from the lowest point. I don't really need anything to service with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what the Chassidim, and that's the comparison to Yom Kippur. But look at the Rambam. See, I said, what's the comparison to David HaMelech? I took a guess. But when I read this Rambam, I was blown away. Because I said, what's the deal with David being Yushpizin? So I was thought, what is David? David was happy because what was David? You didn't know the story of David's happiness. David had nothing at some point. I mean, David was wealthy, he was a king, don't get me wrong. But what happened with David HaMelech? This is what I was thinking about David HaMelech, I was going to say. And then I saw the Rambam says something different. Because David HaMelech, at one point he was so sad because he had no mitzvahs on him, he was naked. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, 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 don't worry about it. You still have what? You still have your bris. And David HaMelech was happy. So David HaMelech is somebody who's happy with nothing. This idea of being happy with nothing. Hoshana Rabbah, transitioning over to Shmini Atzeres. But look at the Rambam. Look at the Rambam finishes. First he writes about Sukkah being Simcha Yisera, and you have to have Simcha's Beis HaShoev. But look at the Rambam, how he has. V'ha-simcha she, I'm sorry, I read that already. He says, who has to be involved in this Simcha? V'chol ha-magiz daito v'chol ha-kavod la'as. Whoever gives kavod to himself, u'mischabed be'enav b'komas elu chot v'shota. Whoever does it for kavod for himself, he's an ignoramus. V'alzeh hezer Shlomo, Shlomo warned. V'chol ha-mashpil la'as, whoever lowers himself, u'makil gufo b'mekomas elu, hu ha-godlo ha-mechubet ovim nahava. Whoever does it, lowers himself, he's going to get tremendous kavod. Who does it out of love? Who is the reference that the Rambam gives at the very end of the Tosafot? Who is the paradigm for this? If we're talking about Hoshana Rabbah, we're talking about Simcha, it's got to be David HaMelech. V'chein David Melech Yisrael Amar. David HaMelech says, V'ni closely od mizos v'yitzi shafel be'enai. I was low in his eyes. V'ena gadola ha'kavod el esmoch l'pnei Hashem. Shenemar. There's no greater idea of being happy in front of Hashem. V'ha'melech David mifazes u'mekarker l'pnei Hashem. Because David HaMelech danced in front of Hashem. And of course, this is the famous story of David HaMelech when the Chanukah, when there was the Chanukah Mizbeach, David HaMelech was dancing and he was made fun of for dancing by Michal, who said, what are you doing? But David HaMelech understood, I could be happy with anything. David HaMelech was dancing, not over his personal wealth, but David HaMelech was happy. Lifnei Hashem, v'samachta lifnei Hashem elokecha. The idea of Sukkot is this extraordinary simcha. It's simcha yisera. Hoshana Rabbah is this idea of being besimcha just with my mitzvahs, not with anything material. We've read Koheles, we understood that on Shabbos already. That's the idea of Shabbos. Even though we're bringing everything in, that's not the idea of being happy. The idea of being happy is being happy without anything. That's the chasim within the chasima. It's the layer within the layer that the idea is just to be besimcha without anything. To transmit that simcha. By the way, everybody loves being around the people who are happy. You get around the guy who's sad, we should help him out. But nobody wants to be around that guy. They're depressing. That's why it's so hard to be a therapist. He's got to be around sad people all day. If they're happy, they're not going to go see you. It gets depressing. I remember, before, you know, when I was in Kollel, my chavrusa, he became depressed. So I didn't know what I was doing back then. Not that I know now, but what I did know then was I sat with him for 2 hours, and I was literally going to jump out the wall because I didn't know what to do. Like, I was going nuts. I didn't know. Like, that's why therapists have 45-minute sessions. They're not stupid. It's not just about making more money. It's like, you can go crazy. People want to be around people who are b'simcha. You want to transmit that simcha to your children. That's the avoda of Hoshana Rabbah. That's the avoda. That to be, you know, that the klal shouldn't happen, because as the pasuk says to us, says, tachas ha-shaloi varetas ha-shem al-kecha b'simcha u'betuv levav. That we didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha b'tuv levav. The avodah of Hoshana Rabbah is the chasim within the chasim. It's not just to do the mitzvahs, but it's the way we do the mitzvahs. It's not, oh my gosh, I gotta go to shul tomorrow for 2 hours. But it's, Baruch Hashem, I get to go to Minyan. It's gonna be an hour and 45 minutes. I understand the switch. It's good, I'm gonna get to have an opportunity to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hoshana Rabbah. I don't need the Shabbos app, not because Shabbos is, I don't need the Shabbos app, because who thinks about texting on Shabbos? I have so much to do. Shabbos is a great time for me to spend time with my family. Shabbos is a great opportunity to sing Zmiris, to learn a little bit. It's a great opportunity to disconnect from all the connectivity of the world. I don't need it. And that's what Hoshana Rabbah is. Hoshana Rabbah is the day 7. Shemitah's coming. Shemitah just started. It's also day 7. It's the idea of disconnecting and disassociating from the world and just connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tremendous simcha. Happy Hoshana Rabbah.